Well, about 2,000 years ago, there was a man who preached the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. And I'm going to take a text from his sermon and let him preach to us this morning. I want you to take your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 7. This is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus goes up into a mountain with the disciples and sets down and begins to teach the disciples that were following him at that time some of the greatest truths that's ever been taught and some that we need to learn. And it has something for everybody. The Sermon on the Mount has something for every person, whether you're old or young, whether you're saved or whether you're lost or whether you're dedicated or not. It has something for everybody. And Jesus began to preach or to teach this lesson, this sermon, and I believe this is the basis of everything that's taught in the New Testament. All of the writings of the Apostle Paul, all the writings of the Apostle Peter, of Jude and John, all connect back to the thoughts connected here or preached here on the Sermon on the Mount. Some people say, I want to live a happy life. Well, if you would read chapter 5, verse 1 through 12, you would find out the elements or the keys of a happy, happy life. He begins to expound to us as believers that we are light and that we are salt in the world. We're to shine as a Christian. We're to reflect His light that He gives us. He begins to expound to them His purpose in coming was to fulfill the law and be the sacrifice for mankind. Then later on in chapter 5, He begins to clarify several misunderstood truths passed down through generation after generation. You know, there's a lot of people that believe things that are just not true, that are not right. And the Lord said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. That's a good thing. Amen? But He goes on to say, now listen, He said, you've heard that you shouldn't kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And so He begins to expound the reason for murder. He talks to him about how that adultery is wrong, and the reason behind adultery is lust. He talks to us about swearing. We ought not to swear by God. He talks to us about something that all of us, you've heard, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We've all heard that, amen? You get me, I'll get even. And He said, no. He said, I want to tell you how to do this as a Christian. And then we've all heard to love your neighbor, or to love your friends and love those that love you and to hate your enemies. Well, that's just our nature. Okay, that's my nature and it's your nature, is to love them that love us and hate those that hate us. But Jesus said, I want you to love your enemies. Now, you talk about the test of real Christianity is if you can love your enemy. Amen? Now, we can say I love them, but He goes on to say, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Or let me read it for you. He said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And He says, I want you to be like me because that's what I do. Because you were my enemy at one time and I yet loved you. When He comes to chapter 6, He talks to us about our conduct, about Christianity and not being hypocrites. Now, if there's anything that the world points to the church at, it says there's hypocrites in the church. And we must agree. Amen? But let me say there's hypocrites at Walmart. There's hypocrites at the gas station. There's hypocrites everywhere you go. It just seems like the devil points them out more here. So the Lord says, I don't want you to be a hypocrite. All right? When you do your alms, don't raise your hands and say, hey, look at me. I'm doing something good here. No, He said, just do it. In fact, He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. He talks to us about praying. In days of Jesus, they would pray to be recognized. They would stand out in the corners of the streets and they would draw attention. I'm praying. You know, and that would be a way for people to be seen as really religious people. And then he talked to them about fasting, which I don't do much. I've been fasting all day. I've been fasting since supper. Amen. And but you know, fasting, we just don't want to draw attention to ourselves. Some people say, well, I fast, you know, from lunch to snack. Amen. By the size of us, we can all agree to that. And so fasting, you know, when you're going to fast, he said, don't sound that trumpet. Don't let, hey, I'm fasting over here. I'm trying to be spiritual. So he reminds them of that. And then he talks to him in the last part of chapter 6 about the temporal and the eternal. And so many of God's people have their mind set on what's happening down here and laying up treasure down here and not working for what's over there. And so he reminds us, he said, life is more than meat. And I know for us meat lovers, that's hard for you to understand if you're a vegetarian. But life is more than meat. It's more than raiment. It's more than what we put into it. Amen? Life is more than all of that. Then he comes to chapter 7. And this is all one sermon if you would have been listening to Jesus. We have it divided up into three chapters. But in chapter 7, then he talks to us about, he gives us a warning. Be careful of being critical. Now, you and I probably are not critical, but we may run into somebody that is. Amen? He said, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. When measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And he says, before you start operating on this little mote, this little splinter that's in your brother's eye, you better get this huge log out of your own eye. How many of us have ever been guilty of trying to correct somebody and we've been doing something maybe not like they're doing, but just as bad as they're doing? I guarantee you this, if I go to the eye doctor and the eye doctor's blind, he ain't operating on my eyes. I don't care what the certificate says. Amen? He ain't getting near. Then he tells us, he said, now don't give that which is holy to the dogs. And boy, what a great sermon. Then he talks to us about praying and how good that God is to us. And then he gives us the golden rule. Whenever I was in school, which was many years ago, I was taught the golden rule in school. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Now, as you would men, as you would want people to do to you, do to them. It teaches us respect one for another. And boy, we need to go back to that in America. Amen? Then comes to the sermon for today. And the sermon for today is very easily understood. He begins to talk about, makes kind of a summary, and he says, now I'm going to give you a choice. Man is made of a free will. Everybody in this room has a free will. You made a deliberate choice to come here this morning. You may have been invited. You may have been begged. But you had to make a choice to come. That you exercised your free will. And so he's going to give us some choices. Now the Bible says in the Old Testament, I'll not turn there, but God says this in two or three different places. He said, I have set before you the way of blessing and the way of cursing. I have set before you life and death. And then he says, choose life. It's like you're in school with multiple choice and the teacher tells you which one's the right answer. And if you get it wrong, you can wear the hat. And so I want to read this to you. If you don't have your Bible and you want to look off of somebody's Bible, if not, I'll read it to you. You listen. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. That word find means to see it. Few ever see the way to heaven. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly They are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Now listen, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and done many wonderful works? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then, this is Jesus, I will profess unto them. I will say to them, God says, I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now, with that being said, I want to preach to you on a choice that you must make, a choice that I must make. We read in the very beginning here where the Lord talks about enter at the straight gate, the wide gate, the broad way, the narrow way. We talked about the false prophets, the good prophets. We talked about the good fruit, the bad fruit. We all know these things. These are just things that we would be very knowledgeable of. In our Tuesday night Bible class, this week we talked about two things, the things that are in comparison here. There's two gates, the wide gate and the straight gate. There's two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. There's two kinds of people, the many and the few. There's two ends, destruction and life. There's two professors, the false professors and the true professors. There's two kinds of builders, the wise builder and the foolish builder. There's two foundations, the sand and the rock, and that's found in verse 24 down through 27. There's two houses, the permanent house, the one that stands in storms, and the one that is temporal, that is destroyed in the midst of storms. And there's two results, one fell and one stood. I want to give us three thoughts out of verse 13 through 23 this morning. I'll be as brief as I can, but I want to give you something that will help you, and you will have to make a choice. You will make a choice. Before you leave here today, you will make a choice. Now, when we leave here, some are going to go out to the gravel road, and they're going to either have to go right or left or straight. They're going to have to make a choice. It's called direction. Now, if you're a guy, you'll know which direction you're going. If you're a girl, you may not. But we're going to go in a direction. Some may go this way. Some may just drive around in the parking lot for the fun of it. We have that happen every once in a while. Everybody in this room knows about direction. Now, if we're going to a certain destination, there might be many ways to get to that destination. If you have Google, it may say go this way. If you have a Garmin, it may say go this way. If you have a TomTom, it doesn't know which way to go. All right? And so there's a lot of ways. Or if you ask a fella, he'll say, go north 3/4 mile, turn west 1/8 mile, and you'll be there. You ask a girl, she'll say, go up that big tree and go that way. Amen? You know that post that kind of leans over like this? There's where you need to be. The only way I know that is because I've asked directions from them before. And so there's different ways to get to different places. But today I want to talk to you on how to get to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven. Now there's a lot of ways that look right and look good. So the call is enter in at the straight gate. There's a truth that is proclaimed. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. So there's only one way. Jesus said in the book of Ephesians, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What he's saying is there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Now, the tragedy is there's a lot of people who want to go different ways. Well, I don't like that way, so I'll just go my way. Well, if you're going to Columbia or you're going somewhere else, you can go any way you want. You can go the long way around. You can take a shortcut. It don't matter. But if you're going to heaven, you must go God's way. So there's many, the world, religion of today. There are many who are trying to go away to heaven that won't get them there. They're bypassing the cross. They're bypassing faith. They're bypassing the blood Jesus shed at the cross. They're bypassing all these things that are the way to heaven. They are bypassing truth. They are bypassing the way God commanded man to come. So he says, enter in at the straight gate. Now we all know what a gate is. A gate is an entrance. A way is a way to get there. Some way you go. And so he said, so today you're going to have to make a choice. Not how you leave the church house, but your choice today will be about your soul. About your soul. Not about your neighbor's soul, but about your soul. And you're going to be faced with this decision, which way am I going to go? I've been here long enough and I've talked to enough people that people say, well, Brother Tim, this is just the way. We was out visiting yesterday and somebody told me, they said, well, this is just the way I believe it is. I said, yeah, but that ain't what the Bible said. Yeah, but that's the way I believe it is. Listen, God gave us the Bible to give us the way to get to heaven. Not so we could just, you know, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever been lost? You know, you're trying to find someplace and you're not sure where you're going, so you just kind of go the direction you think you're going, you should go. You know, it kind of looks like it's over that direction and you might end up who knows where. Well, that's kind of the way it is trying to get to heaven if you don't follow the map. And the Bible's the map. And so you have to follow the map to get to heaven, and the Bible is the map. And so God said, I'm going to set before you two ways. Now, the thing about this way is this. Your way and my way seems right. Seems what fair. Seems what I like. Amen? In fact, twice the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Which is the way I want to do it. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Have you ever, I remember one time I was driving, after I quit Coca-Cola, I ended up having to pay a lot of taxes on my 401 money, and so I went to work through the summer for Prairie Farms, hauling milk for Prairie Farms. And Prairie Farms had bought Peavely, kept Peavely name. Peavely Milk down in St. Louis was an iconic name, so they kept the name. And so I would go down to Flat River, Missouri, and take a trailer there and pick up an empty trailer and come back. Well, every once in a while, they'd send me to Peavely, which you go to Peavely is right down in the center of St. Louis. And only people that lack a lot of sense drive in St. Louis. Amen? And so I get down to Peavely, and that's before Garmin's and TomTom's and Google and everything else. And so I get down there and unhook what I was supposed to hook, hooked up the other trailer, and got ready to leave, and there was this big sign, and this is the only way that I knew to get back on the highway. All right? You go out of Peavely, you go left, and you go right, or you go left, you go left, and you go left, and you're back on 70 or 40 or whatever it was there. You're supposed to be 40, I guess it was, and you go right on. I get over there, and it says ramp closed. That is quite a dilemma for a guy that don't know where he's going. So I thought, well, there's got to be a ramp somewhere. So the further I drove, the worse it got. So I turned around and I thought, well, I'm going to go back to Peavely and start over again. Instead of going left, I'm going to go right. So I go back to Peavely and I turn right, I get on the right, and I'm going downtown. And then there's this huge sign that says, no semis this way. By then, I'm so frustrated, I thought, I do not care if they want semis this way. That's the way I'm going. So I went all the way downtown where no semis are supposed to go. I knew where I was at then, went over there, got up on the road left. Have you ever tried to go somewhere and you didn't know how to go? And that's the way navigating spiritually is. If you don't follow the guidelines, if you don't follow the directions, you'll say, boy, I tell you what, I get so frustrated with organized religion. You know what? Jesus organized a church. And he organized a church to direct people to heaven. So he said there's two ways, the straight way and the narrow way, or the wide gate. The straight gate and the wide gate, the broad way and the narrow way. Then he says this, not only is there a call to enter into straight gate, but there is a caution given. He said, beware of those that pretend to be prophets, but they're not. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Now you better be careful, and that's it's almost going to be sound like, well, preacher, how do we know we can trust you? Well, you trust the person that brought you. And since you trusted the person that brought you, they trust me, therefore you can trust me that I'm not a false prophet. I'm not trying to get into your pocketbook. I'm not trying to get into your will and to all of those types of things. I'm trying to direct us to heaven to make sure everybody's going there. And so he said, beware of false prophets because there are those who would take a great Bible truth under the inspiration of the devil and distort it or twist it. And what people think is the way to heaven is not. He said, a good tree is known by good fruit. We're in the fruit season, amen, or just at the end of it, I guess. We know that good fruit, now there's two kinds of apples. There's good apples and there's bad apples. We, back home, I don't know if you have them around here, but we used to have little apples like this. We called them crab apples, all right? And you eat a crab apple and it would turn your face inside out. You talk about sour, good gravy, I'm telling you. That thing was so sour. Birds love them and coons love them and other animals love them, but they're not fit for humans to eat. And so I remember one day, you know, us boys being out in the woods and we was going to see if anybody or who could eat the most crab apples. Let me say this. You get about two crab apples in you and you are fit to be loosed. Amen? I'm telling you what, it will cause your stomach to either throw up or have all kinds of cramps or I'm telling you to cause your eyes to water. I mean, if you eat too many crab apples, I mean, they have a wrong effect on your appetite. On the other hand, I've eaten good apples. Amen? I like apples. I can eat apples till I get sick of eating apples. So we all know the difference between good fruit and bad fruit. Now God says, listen, if you're ready to make a choice about which way to go, if you're wanting to go to heaven, then you've got to go the narrow way. But you be careful because there's a broad way and many are on that road and it seems like since so many's going that way, it has to be right. And the Bible says you be careful of that one who's standing in a pulpit possibly or possibly being a teacher and he's telling you to go this way instead of the narrow way. He's bypassing the cross. Over in the Old Testament, the Bible is filled with people who were false prophets saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. False prophets. There is only one way to peace, and that is through Jesus Christ. Then he gives us the choice. He says, enter in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. You are going to enter into one of those gates. It doesn't matter if you're old or young, what your nationality is, what your color is. You are entering into one of those gates. Either you'll continue on the broad way, which we're all on one day, or you'll make a choice to leave the broad way and enter into the narrow way. You know, back when I was 17 years old, I left the broad way. And I entered into the narrow way. And I've never regretted the choice that I made. Said, well, preacher, you haven't had as much fun as everybody else. Oh, I may not. But at the end of it is the celestial city. And it'd be worth it all then. So the Lord ends up this parable, or this teaching here, not parable, but this teaching by saying, now listen. He that hears these sayings of mine and heeds them is the wise man. He that hears these sayings of mine and says, that's a bunch of junk. Good gravy. Amen. Good night. I know what lost people think. I was one of them. How stupid. Who's it? I got my own way of believing. You ever heard people say that? That's the fool. That's the fool. The wise man's going to enter into the narrow gate. The foolish man is going to try to build his own faith on something that will not last. So, this morning, the question, sermon, this is, I'm telling you, for our visitors, this is a miracle. It's 20 minutes, and I'm done. Did somebody start clapping? Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's great. I'm done with the sermon, but the invitation's another 20. I usually preach 45 minutes. I want them to get their money's worth, amen? So I'm going to give you the choice. You can continue the way you're going with your own ideas and your own theories and your own philosophies, and you can point out all the hypocrites in the church, and you can condemn everybody, and you can do all these things. Or you can look at yourself and say, you know what? I'd rather end up in life in heaven as I would on the road to destruction in hell. And I'm going to make a choice to get off of this road and onto this road. I think we sang that song, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." That's the only way there. There's no other way but this. It's not Baptist. I'm a Baptist, but it's not. You can't join the Baptist church and get to heaven. You can't join any church and get to heaven. You can't be a non-churchgoer and get to heaven. Can't do it. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I pray. Oh, that's great. Praying don't get you to heaven. Well, I've got my own beliefs. Your own beliefs won't get you to heaven. There's one way. Only one. Only one. That's how narrow the road is. And that's why so many people never find it. Have you ever seen one of them little signs that say, hidden entrance? You ever seen one of them? Hidden entrance. Well, let me tell you this. The devil's trying to hide the entrance to heaven from you today. How does he do that? He blinds us. We can't see it. Every once in a while, I'm driving, and my little GPS thing will say, turn right. And I'm dyslexic. The older I get, the more dyslexics I get. And I turn left. And my GPS says, make a U-turn and go the way I told you. They ought to let me talk on there. Hey, stupid, why didn't you go the way I said, amen? But they're kind and generous and compassionate. And so I turn left. And then it says, rerouting. And I disobey the direction that I put my trust in to get me to where I'm going. Because I thought I knew a better way. Come to find out, they were right on target most of the time. And I'm telling you, I'm right on target today for you to get to heaven. You must come by the way of the cross. And here's what that means. You must acknowledge that you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must acknowledge the wages of sin is death, but God's gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you must ask to be saved. There's not a person that's ever been saved that hasn't asked to be saved. Never a one. Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved. Sunday night, last Sunday night, on this side of the altar, Pam came down to this altar and got saved. For several years, Miss Beth has been inviting Pam to come to church. Has known her for ages. Invited her to come to church. No, 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 no. Last Sunday night, Pam called Beth and said, "Hey, I was going to come over." And she goes, "Well, I'm going to church. Come and go with me." "Okay, I will." And sat back there about where she is right now, maybe right where she is right now. And I preached a message on listening to God. And God spoke to her heart. And she got up out of her chair or out of the pew, walked down to the altar at the invitation time, and asked God. Didn't ask me. I'm nobody. Didn't ask the church. We're nobody. But asked God to save her forever and ever. And he did. And today, you need to do that as well. If you have never been saved, you need Christ. He is the only way. One of the fellows that came with Joe, I saw it on his shirt, on the back of his shirt, I may not quote it exactly, "Jesus died for bikers too." I believe that's somewhere around in there, said something like that. Well, that's true. Jesus died for bankers. Jesus died for poor, for rich, for every person here today. And you need Christ. And he is the only way to heaven. We're going to have an invitation here just in a minute. We do this every Sunday, every Sunday night. At this invitation, if you said, "You know what, preacher, I've been sitting here while you've been preaching, and I feel like there's something stirring in my heart down there, like you've been have you ever been in church where the preacher always looks at you? You've been looking at me. You've been pointing to me the whole day." Well, I haven't, but God has. God has put his finger on your heart, and you're like, "I can't wait to get out of here. I feel like something's going on down deep inside." Well, let me tell you what that is. That's called conviction, and God's trying to get your attention to get you on the narrow way. And if you respond to that, then you can leave here on your way to heaven. And at this invitation time is the time to do it. Now, if you're sitting next to one of our church members or somebody that you know that's saved, and you say, "Man, I'd love to go down front." Now, I know down front scares everybody. All right? It scares everybody, right? Big, tough men scared to come down here. Scary place getting down here all alone with God. But today, if you need to get saved, I can take the Bible and show you how to be saved, how to get on the narrow way and get off the broad way that will surely lead you to hell. Father, we thank you for this day, and I thank you for this great sermon that was preached. It's the greatest sermon I've ever read. And Lord, I pray as I've tried to share the truths of this sermon that everybody listen, and everybody in this room knows where they're going when they die. Lord, there is a way which seems right. Lord, Paul said there were some that had a zeal for God, but not according to truth. And they're going to die without any hope. Many will say to me in that day, you said. What a tragedy to go to all through this life and die and God not know us. So Father, today I pray if there's a man or a woman here today that needs to be saved, that the Holy Spirit will draw their heart and save them. Might be somebody that just needs encouragement in their Christian life. And all things get glory in Jesus' name. Their heads bowed.